Okay, welcome everybody on People's Internet Radio. I'm Stephen Roberts, and this is The Big Puzzle. I'm still filling in for Barry Prince. He's out there in the bush, as I happened to put in the email listing. Glad to see there's still a bunch of people in the chat from Circle of White Light Radio. Thanks to Alan and his guest, David, which was on last night before Sherry's show came on with Emily. But that's a different story. That's a different time, different day. Anyways, I am filling in for Barry Prince and The Big Puzzle, and Mike Traherne, a friend of Barry's, has been coming on quite frequently because he wants to help Barry, and he wants to help People's Internet, and he wants to help a lot of people. And I guess that maybe that's just the way he is. So welcome back, Mike.
Thanks, Steve. How are you doing today?
Not too bad. You're driving out there on the road of out there on the Canadian highways and that, so hopefully we'll be able to keep a good signal on your Skype there.
I think we will be able to here for, you know, at least a good hour or so. I may fall out and we can take a quick break and then I can come back and join you about 15 minutes after. There's one dead spot, and but then we should be good.
Well, that's the way the highways go, actually.
It's the way the highway rolls. That's right. So how have you been doing lately? We did a show last night for Sherry. That was a lot of fun. We were going to talk a little bit about Russia, but we never did. And what's going on in the world? I mean, I've caught up on some news, and Iran dropping bombs, blaming it on the States, and the States blaming it on Iran.
Well, you know, I've got a really good feeling that it's the inside system itself doing that kind of stuff, bombing the tanker out there in the Gulf, and blaming it on the Iranians, which is one of their normal little tricks that they do.
Yeah, typical. Yeah. And a Japanese one, too.
Yeah, actually, yes.
So I just don't know how that happened, but or what even that message was, whoever sent that message, seeing as Japan was in Iran at the time. So I don't know. I don't know what to say there.
Well, you know, it's normally the system. I guess the story goes, allegedly, that Iran has not attacked anybody in over 300 years. That's what the story going around the internet is. I don't really know if it's true or not. But
well, even in the Iran-Iraq war, I mean, I think Iraq brought it to the table. So
yes, they did.
Were they in a war or did they defend? So again,
right. Well. They didn't attack first, but they did defend and then attack afterwards. Of course, that's the way wars work.
Yeah, and finished it off pretty good too. Yeah. So just stop that threat from happening again, obviously. But
it seems, if memory serves me correct, though, Mike, Iraq was a buddy with the United States and Britain at that time.
Absolutely.
And they were getting money and defensive machinery, airplanes, tanks, and whatnot from the U.S. and Britain.
Supplied by the U.S. Yeah. Yes, it did. It was, I don't know who attacked who there, but it all sounds, again, pretty shady, and why it was done, who knows, what kind of message it was to be sent, for what reason, not sure. I know that Trump has his deal with Japan, but I think Japan also needs to make an oil deal, as you know, they were depending on Canada quite a bit actually for their oil, which has been going on for many years, and that seems to have dissolved as well.
Right.
So Japan had to go out and look for something. They had to find oil somewhere.
Sure.
And buying it from the U.S. probably wasn't really.
Well, I mean, look at what happened 80 years ago.
Yeah.
It was virtually the same thing. The U.S. and Britain cut off Japan with the oil that they were being supplied with back in the late 30s.
Yeah, you know, Japan's taken an awful kicking in the butt, through everything over the courses of time. It seems like Japan always seems to take some sort of, not that they, you know, weren't aggressive themselves at one point in time in certain ways, but you know, who in the world wasn't? So,
right.
You know, that's,
right. Well,
but
you know,
Japan seems to take a bit of a beating.
I do have to say, and I think you probably would too, that I think you mentioned it yesterday. It's not so much the Japanese people. It's the control structure, of Japan, or the control structure of Russia, or the control structure of the U.S. or Britain.
Britain or
whatever the state is. Yeah, whatever the de facto government is.
Exactly. De facto being the key word. It, you know, it's such a mixed up system that, you know, I mean, at one time we would try to trust. I mean, from the start of time, I don't think we could ever trust a government from the day of a government. And ever was it in favor of the people, ever, really. They go back in the years of, you know, America, and they go back in the years of Russia, and, you know, all the main powers, China, and pretty much anybody, Saudi, the Middle East, all of it. It's never been about the people, ever, quite frankly. And now everybody's bitching and complaining, saying we got to make it part of the people, which... You know, okay, we got to make it part of the people. Yes, we do. But, you know, again, solution is how are we going to do that? So, you know, there's many ways that we can do it. But it seems like North America has become very, very, well, America and North America have become very soft. And it's not the retaliating countries that we saw at one time. Is that racist? I don't believe that is. You know, I just don't think there's a willingness to defend. And,
yeah.
And that's a shame, no. Because, you know, we lost all that protectiveness of our countries. And, you know, I made some posts on Facebook that we need more borders.
Yep. Yeah.
Open borders did not work. So
no.
We need to restructure borders. And that means Europe and everybody else. I mean, back to the border system.
Yeah.
And their own currencies as well.
I have an interesting little story. I did have a step uncle that's deceased about 17 years ago now, died of cancer. But when he was alive, the last few years of his life, the last five, he had started a fictional novel. And it was about cutting America off with giant walls, actually, to be ironic about it. Cutting America off with just not so much Canada and Mexico, but from the rest of the world. And
yes.
I would like to talk to one of his sons and see if they happen to have that his writings, you know, see whatever happened to it. But
well we can say, look, I mean, Hillary Clinton mentioned it about Donald Trump trying to build a box around America.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, and yep, that's exactly what he's trying to do. And you know, it looks like, you know, if we can finally get this thing taken care of with the UK, again, that's going to block another border again. As we said there last night, you know, they're trying to keep the border open between Northern Ireland and Ireland.
Yeah, yeah. But
so, you know, that's the big dilemma that Theresa was having.
Yeah.
As far as the UK having deals with Europe, I mean, I don't understand that argument, because, of course, that's going to happen. You know, it can't not happen. So I don't think anything would change there. But they passed laws to exit. And if they did exit, they would stand by it. And if they didn't exit, they couldn't vote on that again. And they won. And
yeah.
They've done everything on the left to block it.
Right, right.
So I think that you're going to see the UK start to explode pretty quick as far as the people, and we see how many people show up over there for Tommy. I mean, thousands and thousands of people come.
Uh-huh. Well, they can't really, I mean, they have to fight that exit. They can't risk losing billions and billions and billions in tax revenue and billions in revenue that they can fill their pockets with.
Correct. That's very true. But they're going to have to figure out a way. So I hope they're actually working on a trade deal.
Uh-huh. I've actually
heard
that
they can get the revenue in the door.
Yeah. I've actually heard that the EU is far more bankrupt than what America is.
Oh, Europe's bankrupt as can be. I mean, the welfare states are overridden. Their currency is gone to zero. The elite have made it that way. And normally currencies last anywhere from 25 to 40 years normally. And, you know, it's 42 years old, and it's good for currency change. You know, it's only, you know, China and Russia and, you know, America and Canada and England that have really, there's a couple more, but that have really only held their own currency.
Yeah.
So the rest of the world is controlled by our good friends at the World Bank.
Right. I've also heard stories that say the actual illicit drug trade, the money laundering from the drug trade into all of the world's banks is the only thing that's keeping the economies going, even though they are on their last thread. You know, the illicit drug trade is keeping the world's economies going. There have been, I think, maybe a dozen banks in the last 10 years or so that have been caught laundering billions and billions and billions of dollars from the drug cartels.
Yeah, organized crime.
Yeah, well, organized crime, de facto government. Is there a difference?
It's the same group of people, I believe. Though I don't think that there's any separate offices.
Yeah,
if you will, I think there's a head office to do with all of it, and that sits right in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, yeah. There's a couple statements from Moon Girl in the chat room. One says she was watching Watchdog with Greg Hunter and Wayne Jeff this morning, and the noose is closing in on the deep state, is what they were trying to say, I guess. And she also says that Italy is trying to get out of the EU.
Of course, absolutely. Without a question, and I've read her comments before, actually, and answered some of her comments. You know, yes, we mentioned that, you know, when the New York City brat that was part of the elite at one time became president, that he was going to definitely make some waves with certain members of the elite, and there was going to cause a disturbance within that group itself. And everything comes to collapses once anyone starts to argue. So I can see, I would have to agree that the deep state is on a massive, massive decline. And it's run out of ways to manipulate. And
yeah.
People are so much more educated due to radio stations like this and internet and everything we have available to us, no matter how they start to block us. They can't just do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Well... But, having said that, I can see the deep state falling, absolutely, and a big separation, a big divide there.
Well, you know, I still keep saying from day one, I think Trump is but a puppet. I think the illusion is being put out there that he is helping us little guys and trying to go after the big boys. But I still do think, why is this 5G still proceeding with the agenda that it puts out? The 5G, the microwave radiation is an estimated 500 times more powerful than what the 4G is right now.
Right.
It's still being implemented. It's still being put out all over the world. They are probably not going to stop it unless some of these workers that are installing this stuff in the companies that get the contract are just flat out murdered. I don't really know. They might take notice then. I don't know really what it's going to take. I hope it don't take that, but, you know, it might.
I think the full 5G system is all another effective way of control.
Sure it is.
And there's going to be so many things that are going to be influenced by that 5G. So, you know, as far as even, say, revolution, you know, Alex Jones has talked about this very many times on the war of the internet right now around the world, the war of the systems and the satellites. If you get too loud and you're on a telephone, they'll just zap you right on the phone.
Yeah. I've never called for a physical revolt, and I don't want a physical revolt, but, you know, you go through every single scenario in your head, and they're not going to relinquish their power and control without a fight.
I think the fight is going to change. If I pull into the Czech Republic and get out of the EU, actually, there's quite a few countries that want to get out of the EU. I think 10 actually, that just want to expunge it. And they'll go looking for new currency because they'll have to. Will the elite lose money on canceling the currency? Absolutely not. Trillions of dollars were made every year on that currency, and they don't lose a thing. But what it does do is it leans a lot of stress on countries like Russia and China and America, and in some cases the Middle East, Saudi. But that stress would create currency void. It would just literally collapse. And And I believe that's where they're going. Too much major investment from America to China, China to America to Saudi, Saudi to America, Russia, everybody involved. I mean, all the way down the line, too many special interest groups involved in each territory. And when you have these things happening, it creates a friendship that creates such a blindness as to what the countries actually do in their, you know, in their human rights, let's just say, or just as one example, but, you know, many, many other factors. And so we lose control of the world when that happens. So we sometimes wonder if Donald Trump is a puppet. We sometimes say that when we talk about in our lifetime, everyone says not in our lifetime, these things won't happen. Well, in whose lifetime? And on the same regard as governments that are standing up to this world agenda of fighting back, will they fight back in our lifetime? They just very well may. There may be that big change of divide around the world where controls need to come back to certain countries and they hold a certain stand in their part of the world and keep their people safe. You know, safety is key, and I think everyone in the world wants to have safety. I don't think anybody enjoys people blowing up buildings around them and killing our loved ones and the bad guys in the deal. But let's keep in mind, from a cartoon to a comic book to a movie, the bad guy always loses. And
yeah, there's a reason for that. It's because they want to give us hope.
Well, yes, they do. That's true. And you know, instead of using the word, I think that the new creation is creating hope. And if you can create hope, and as we spoke on Sherry's show there last night, of how algorithms and tempos and templates of moderating our brains and making things work, and how we don't bring the dark to light. We always bring the light to darkness, and these things have been proven over many times that if we just change the mindset. And we all come together telepathically in the planet of the way the energies work. We've also spoken on Shaziz about this. We can change the effort. It's all within us. For people that are, say, of God, that they say that he changed my life and it brought a new energy to us. So if we can all react on an energy that brings positive, then we bring the light to the dark. Right. And we can always overcome it.
Yeah. You know, I've been saying since day one on the radio, well, first on video, way back in February of 2013. It's been over 6 years now.
I have
now.
That video.
Yeah, that's right, you do. Maybe it wasn't
that video.
Maybe it wasn't the very first video, but it was always one of the first ones, you know, if somebody wants to go in and look back at it. I don't have cable. I don't have TVs. I don't listen to radios. You know, I listen to music on YouTube. Music I want to hear. I don't want to hear commercials, and I don't want to see commercials on TV, because I know what I want to buy, and that's the way it is. That's actually the way it's going to have to be. People are going to have to get back to an older type of existence before there was TVs and radios. And it's absolutely no mistake in their own writings. Back in the 1840s and 1850s, they said they were going to implement a technocratic plutocracy. And what that meant was they were going to introduce technology to control the people. And they've done it very, very well for the last 150 to 160 years, maybe even 170.
Well, I believe that the whole plan has been that, you know, over strictly, you know, over the last 200 to 300 years on how they were going to capitalize on getting to the end of their story. You know, because we know there's always been threats through the 13 families and their underground societies and the way that they want to manipulate the planet and make it what it is, underground cities. We've spoken of that. There's lots of talk of it, and of course, I'm sure that there is quite a bit of it around the world. I don't think it's just in America. I think it's everywhere, preparing for all of this collapse of the planet, if you will. Do I think they're safe doing that? I think that was a pretty dumb move, really, because planet encrusts, and it'll just take it easy quicker. But But, you know, have they built a safe system? We don't know. And if there's tunnels that go, you know, who knows about them? And if they're that silent, it can't be very many. And if there aren't that many, why are the tunnels so long? And
now, they've been building them for a long time, 60, 70 years.
Oh, yeah, they have. Oh, yeah.
They've been building their bunkers, and they've been building their underground societies, yeah.
Yeah.
That's
shopping malls.
That's already been known for a long, long time. But, you know, I just wanted to say that all of this manipulations isn't a new thing in the last 70 years or so, or 120 years, whatever it's been. These deceptions and manipulations and these false flags, they go back into Caesar's time, and they go back further than that. Caesar was the one that pretty much revolutionized the deceptive ways that we're dealing with now. He invented sports. He invented the Colosseum Games. He said to his Senate and his top advisors, well, you know, we need something to distract the people. Otherwise, they're going to kill us. And, you know, I'm just...
To entertain, yeah.
I'm paraphrasing, but that was their...
No, but it's true, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I know that, you know, back in Canada, we were talking back years ago in the late 1800s, I mean, the people got upset with the Canadian government in Canada, and they burned down Parliament Hill. They actually burned it to the ground. And, you know, I wish we had a little bit of that fight left in the people in these days. Like we mentioned, the strongest society that's on its way out right now that fought in World War II and made such a bold statement, and how terribly wrong we went from there. You know, we weren't allowed to discipline our children. We just weren't allowed to do anything. And they took society away. They took respect away. How many times do we see now that there's no respect between anybody? And it doesn't matter if it's adult to an adult or from kids to adults. It's all changed. And and just talking to them doesn't do anything, because they just don't listen.
I was,
and they're taught that.
Yeah. I got an interesting, funny little story to tell you. Friday night, I traveled to a different city about 3 hours away, Indianapolis, Indiana, for a pool tournament. And there was a younger kid. It was an 8-year-old that was playing in the tournament. And it was a Scotch doubles tournament. Me and my partner were playing against these other two. And then one happened to be an 8-year-old kid. Well, the 8-year-old kid pulled off a good shot and made a ball, and you know, I was sitting on my chair there, acting like I was going to kick him, and he turned to me with a straight face, and he said, "Oh, if you kick me, I can sue you." Didn't even bat an eye.
Yeah,
I was gobsmacked. I said, "Hey, kid, just look here a second. I was only teasing you, okay? You know, get away from me, you little brat."
You know what, we talked about that a few shows ago on Somewhere With Us, but you know, we were talking about that, and I wondered if anybody or anyone even in the chat room is wondering, you know, isn't it funny that we used to think each other over a few days, and sooner or later the phone would ring or whatever, and it would be that person. Now it seems like we think about something they literally phone within hours.
Oh, I don't know if I've told you or not, but, you know, back when the telephones hung on the wall and they were connected to the telephone by a cord, everybody was connected by a cord. It's happened 3 times in my life. It hasn't happened in 25 years, but I thought about calling somebody, and I picked up the phone, and they were on the other end of the line because they were calling me.
Like actually sitting there, I know, doing it.
Yeah.
You know? Well, look at animals know too. Our animals know when we're on our way home. We haven't made any type
exactly
of
miles
anything, and they know we're on their way.
Miles away from home, yeah.
Yeah, and they know we're coming.
Yep.
And they can almost time you to the minute.
Well, you know, so, when you come down your street there, however long the street is, that's a funny story, because my mother used to have a little Jack Russell, and she'd just be laying down on a couch or a chair or something. She would pop her head up and run to the door. Just for no reason. And within a minute, she would be coming home. Right. She'd be pulling in the driveway within a couple of minutes. The dog knew. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, they know we're mammals, right? So we know that stuff. And I think that, you know, there's even things written at the end of times where you know, humans and mammals, you know, start to speak. Now, how we do that, I don't know, but we actually start to comprehend each other and start working together.
Yeah,
so,
it's all
we
about
all have that fear. It's built into us as a mammal.
It's all about the vibration. The three of us had a laugh because, well, it wasn't on air, but it was the day or a couple days ago, like Thursday or Friday, whatever it was. The three of us were on Skype, you, Sherry, and I, and I kind of made the comment of, I don't know what in the world it is, but there are times where I can finish Sherry's sentence, and I don't even know where she's going, but I finish her sentence, and she says, "Yes!" like she does all the time.
How she does, yeah.
And you guys
did it. She gets so excited.
And you guys did it a few times yesterday, too, so...
Yeah, we did. And, you know, you just, because you all get in the mindset, you know, I think you know where each other is going. And I think that even through the internet systems has brought a lot of us closer, you know, in certain ways. It's divided some people, but it's brought a lot of us closer. And we're able to talk to like-minded people that we're actually friends with that we've never even physically ever spoken to or met or any of those things. Yet we seem to have that commonality. That works together with each other, that we can almost, you know, almost as you're reading through somewhere, knowing how it's going to end. And I think that's been a very good thing in our populace. I think that, you know, we're in times where we're troubled, and we have to figure out a way to straighten it out. So, you know, Caesar was worried about those types of things happening. I'd say they better figure something out if they want to keep on going. But if not, they're kind of locked in a corner. And sooner or later, the people tend to want to fight back. So now, is that a difficult chore? And does that sound bigger than what it is? Well, not really. When you take even the amount of policing and military and government in any one given country, if people got fed up and even half of them started to roll, it's kind of hard to shut down 150 million people.
Right.
Pretty tough to do. It doesn't matter who you are.
Right. Or a billion, you know, and a half people.
Anybody who's angry can fight back and fight back with their own utensils that they use to try to come back at them. So,
well, I think everybody.
I think we're getting pretty heated.
Yeah, you're a little bit choppy there. Are you still there? Yeah, I don't know. Are you still there?
I'm here. Yeah.
Okay, you got choppy there. The connection got poor.
Yeah, but, I lost you a little bit there, yeah.
I think a lot of people, most everybody, has walked into a room or something or a building and just felt a bad vibration or felt a good vibration. You know, we pick up on those things just like animals do. It's a vibration.
It is.
I know I picked up on it. Good and bad, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, you go into certain places and you just get that good or very negative feeling. And it's got to do with what's around you. You know, I wonder about, you know, time after life. And people say, well, you know, it's just over and that's it. And then I was talking to the one guy and I said, So do you believe in ghosts? So, oh yeah. So okay. Well, all right.
That's a total contradiction right there, isn't it?
Yeah, I just kind of stopped talking. I don't run out of too much to say, but on that one, I kind of, you know, thought, what do you say to that?
Uh-huh.
So
uh-huh.
Even guys that really have things to say, I got nothing.
Right. You know, it's kind of like the political left here in America, and it's probably the same way up in Canada too, and probably the same way all over the world. You know, the political left say, about the abortion issue, and I know it's a touchy issue, but they say my body, my choice, and then they'll turn right around and say, well, vaccinations should be mandated.
Yeah,
and it's like, huh?
Yeah. Well, you know, on abortion, I think Sherry hit it on the head of the nail last night that it's just another diversion and a major one.
Sure, it's always been a diversion.
Anybody humane would not go along with that abortion laws that they're trying to put in place. But in Canada, we don't have an abortion law.
You don't have one.
We don't have one.
They don't have abortions up there?
yeah, they have abortions, but they don't have any laws about abortion. And Dr. Morgenthaler, now back in the 70s, fought against that because, you know, it was a place where we fought against abortions in our country.
I've heard of that name.
Yeah. So, you know, it got all messy. And so, yeah, we don't have an abortion law. And when you try to bring it up with one of the governments here, none of them talk about it. They don't even want to hear about it.
Yeah, they don't. Exactly.
That's the nice country of Canada, by the way, everyone. You know, us nice people up here, very nice people, very corrupt governments.
Well,
yes.
Same down here. Yep.
Yeah. We're even more corrupt than you guys, believe it or not. Although, you know, we worked well with your CIA and everybody else.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
And the corporations. Yeah.
Well, and the corporation. I mean, we're all in the same pool here, but, you know, we all deal with the same parts of the world. And, you know, it's all just a mess. And until we all start fighting back on those agendas and just don't follow suit or don't do what we're told. In some sort of unity, then I guess we can probably kiss our culture, because we are the last stand. Canada being the very last, and the U.S. The last one to defend itself on Western culture itself, which, you know, it's funny that there's no outrage from the balance of the world, you know, fighting and saying, no, you can't take Western culture, when Western culture was the one that seemed to fix everybody's problems. Although we were very warned against that. We were told that it would come back and bite us in the butts, and it seems like that's truly exactly what's happened.
Yes, it has, yeah.
It's a sad state of affairs we're in. But we can change it, and, you know, we just have to be more positive and stand with, you know, like-minded people, and there's many of us, so, and it doesn't come in any specific culture, any specific religion, just common fact, you know, common people of humanity simply feel the same way. No one really hates each other. The governments make us believe that we do, but we don't. I mean, I've spoken to many, 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 many countries, and many of the common core of people that don't hate anybody at all. Actually, quite frankly, most of them don't even have TV to this day, or internet systems that we do have today, and they don't have any idea what's going on out here, whether we're good people, bad people, or indifferent.
Uh-huh. I've got a question that you and I talked about earlier, a couple hours back before we even got connected this last time. But I asked you about black flies, but Moon Girl's got another comment. She said, midges are rife in Canada, she hears. And then I asked her what midget was, and she said a gnat. And then Lori said, little flies that mouth like a feckin' bite. I was thinking maybe they were referring to black flies or mosquitoes, one or the other. I don't know what they call them over there, but I guess they call them midges.
our mosquitoes are like helicopters, and you actually feel when they pierce their nose into you.
Exactly. And you need a blood transfusion afterwards, don't you?
Yeah, and black flies just hurt you. I mean, they have no remorse. We have a tar sand beetle that in northern Alberta, in Fort McMurray, actually, a tar sand beetle that was brought up from past times, it must be, because it looks like it's from prehistoric times. And this thing has, like, solid wings that clap together like wood. And when the thing lands on you, you got to go to the hospital to have it burned off. It's pretty serious stuff.
Oh, goodness.
And, you know, you think back in the days, and I mean, when you bat it to the ground, it flies back at you, you know, like it's, you know, one of that type of thing. So, yeah, we have some strange stuff going up around here as far as flies, but...
I do know that the black flies and the mosquitoes way up in the Yukon and parts of Alaska, during the summer, they just, they almost murder the caribou and the moose and the elk up there, because they just get hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, every single day.
Yeah.
Biting them and taking blood from them.
Blood out of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They
their blood away.
They almost decimate a lot of animals.
Yeah. Yeah, that's factual. Yeah.
Yes, it is.
You know, it's funny how mosquitoes go, because, you know, you won't have very many mosquitoes for 7 years, and the hatch might stop, but it stays going for 7 years, and then all of a sudden,
dormant.
You'll get this overabundance of mosquitoes, man. Like, they carry away.
Billions of them, yeah.
Yeah, billions of them. They actually can, you know, I mean, too bad you couldn't train them. You'd just be able to get them to latch onto you and fly to the store. But and some of them have wings up here that they're pretty serious. Well, when you hit them, they're still moving.
We could teach them to take out the deep state. How about that?
Yeah, we can do that through algorithms. And we can do that through sound waves and kind of like the Pied Piper, you know, with the rats and all that stuff. You know, he led them back to water. Maybe we can get the mosquitoes after him and just put them in a, you know, maybe not kill them. Just put them in a padded room for a little while.
Right.
A couple hundred years or so. And, you know, we were talking the other night too, you know, about how the old boys club, Steve, we were talking about that last night, and we've talked to about it a few times, and they say, well, you know, well, the old boys club's almost dead. Except their 70-year-old son, who's part of the old boys club now.
Yeah, their 60-year-old sons, yeah.
Just the faces change, but the old boys remain the same, right?
Sure.
So that never ends, so that's a nice thought that maybe they're all going to die, but there's also families protecting those fortunes.
Yeah. So you know, I wanted to go back to Trump because I wanted to make a couple more comments, you know.
Sure.
I mentioned about the 5G rollout, but also what happens every single day since his presidency is every 12 minutes, a bomb is still being dropped somewhere in America on innocent people.
Yes. Yes, there is.
Yeah. I mean.
And around the world.
All over the world, yeah.
All over, man.
Brown skinned people, yeah.
Yep. It's been so quiet and down, I don't think we really know what's going on at all. I mean, look at Syria. After Syria, things kind of quietened down quite a bit.
Well, is Syria still going?
Oh, it's still going in the north, for sure. It's probably still going all over the place.
Yeah, they're still trying to get Assad. And they want, that's another thing I wanted to mention earlier. I've been hearing a lot of this that Iranians are not Muslims. They're not Arabs. They consider themselves
Persians.
Yeah, they're Persians, and they don't really like the Muslims or the Arabs.
No, they never did.
Yeah.
The Persian community in Iran, I mean, it was one of the largest Persian communities, you know, in the world. You know, and a lot of times when you I speak to people from Iran and I say, "Are you Persian?" and they say, "No, we're not Persian," but you know, but they're good people. There's another society that in the Iran-Iraq war that got just dismantled completely.
Right.
The Persians don't really have a home anymore.
Right.
Other than Persia, but
right.
You know, that's not much of a home, but it's very Persian. And so I think we get a mixed bag. I mean, we had riots in Iran last year about the burqa. You know, people were throwing their burqa on the ground and some people were getting killed because of it in the streets and all sorts of things were happening. But I think that was an isolated situation against the burqa and the Muslim group, if you will. I don't think it really truly had much to do with Iran or Persia. I think that was an in-house fight on that one.
Yeah, I've heard it for a long, long time now. I heard it many, many years ago that the Persians, the Arabs, and the Muslims, they're really not much different than we are. They just take a lot of biblical writings more truth to heart than what Westerners do. They really are like us. They like God's, or they like God, guns, and girls, just like we do.
Well, they seem to like little boys too, but I don't know. They don't really match me there. But,
right. Well, that's
and little girls, and
that's the deep state.
That's the difference. But that's we have that here state, in America too. We got some sickos there doing the same damn thing.
That's the deep state.
So you know, look at the
traffic.
Human traffic. Sherry tapped on it last night. She's very right too. It's got to stop. And the only way we're going to stop that is to take out the deep state. I mean, this has been going on. you know, since the start of time, it's been rapid forever.
It has.
We've all known that it's been rapid forever. But I think that now everything that we're hearing, we're all trying to put a stop to all of it because we realize that it's just one heck of a massive mess. And every single thing we do is out of control. And it all turns back to, you know, the same things we've spoken about in the last few shows on a few shows, really.
Yeah.
And it all goes back to, you know, what Trump's trying to do, what Ronald Reagan tried to do, and what Kennedy tried to do. So,
yeah.
You know, I mean, even on The Simpsons, they showed Donald Trump as becoming the president and also his assassination.
Right.
So we've all wondered if there was going to be an attempt on him.
Yeah, you know, that I've been thinking about that, too. That is so, today's technology, that is so easily faked. Easily faked. You know, even if something like that were to happen, for real or not for real, it's still so easily faked, and people are going to buy it anyways, no matter what the case is.
Yeah.
Each and every one of us, each and every one of us has seen a murder on a TV or a movie.
Yeah, we have. We've all seen a lot of that, and I can say this, although when it comes to killing presidents, we can, yes, I guess fake it, but it's a pretty difficult one to fake. I don't think they faked JFK's death.
Well, you know, they did have that video
indication of someone trying to fight back.
More than likely not, but I will say that they had that video for 13 years before anyone actually seen it. Did you know that? Hello? Hello?
The shooting of JFK?
Yes. They had that video. Yes, they had that video for 13 years, and nobody's seen it for 13 years.
Except for the day that he was actually shot.
Right.
Because it made the media a little... But yeah, I don't think we had all the... You know, it's funny how we had it happen there for many, many years. I mean, the story's never changed.
Uh-huh.
I don't think it fooled anybody.
Right.
We know what happened, and it was just a dirty pool game. You know, and they tried to do it again with Reagan.
Uh-huh.
And they almost succeeded. And then I think that Trump, you know, could be, I would always hope not. And I think if they want to disturb the world, they should try and take out another U.S. president and see what happens.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that you'd have one heck of a massive blowout.
And
I just can't imagine what would happen in America if something of that nature happened. I mean, it would be insanity, actually.
Right.
It would just be insanity.
Right. Well, you
I
know,
think you'd have revolution.
Believe it or not, Mike, we've gone about 50 minutes here so far, the two of us.
What?
Yeah, I know.
You know, we get talking, and we're sorry for the ones in the chat room. We get going, and we talk about stuff, and we get going with it. But, man.
I know
do
it.
Do we want to take a little short break? Or?
Well, I was thinking about a 10-minute break, maybe. Is that okay?
Okay. Yeah, let's take a 10-minute break, and let's look at the chat room, see if we can answer any more questions.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll be right back in a few minutes, everyone. You put the kettle on, and we'll be right back.
Make a hot chocolate, an ice cream, something. Just
well, a tea. It's tea
just
over there.
Just come back.
It's tea over there, so that's what they'll do.
Don't go away. Sure, tea's good, too.
Be right back, everyone. Okay, welcome back here to about the last 50-plus minutes of the big puzzle. But I'm not Barry Prince, and My co-host is not Barry Prince also, but I want to welcome back Mike Trehearne.
Yeah.
He's still,
and we're not Barry Prince.
We're not Barry Prince, that's right.
Although we love Barry.
Yeah.
Barry's working hard in the bush.
I
did see a few posts of him on Facebook, and I tried to get a hold of him a couple of times, but... You know, he's back there. He's probably got terrible service.
I'm sure.
I know where Barry is.
I'm sure.
And he's probably wondering what the heck's going on in the real world. But I'm sure he's going to be able to tell us what's going on in the non-real world when he gets back.
You know, it's been 16 years since I've been out west in America and up in Canada. Actually, also, I do recall back then, 16 years ago, that the cell signals was terrible. I'm sure they must be a little bit better by now, but they probably still are quite terrible, though.
Well, they are, and they tell us, you know, because we're so spread out. That's the problem. We get into dead areas, and, I mean, we have our telephones generally, unless you need it.
Well, so, that's what this 5G is all about, though. They want to take away that dead space.
Oh, yeah, they do. Yeah, and fry us in the meantime.
Uh-huh, yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't know how many people get headaches from telephones, but... I mean, I'm on the telephone so much, and whether it's on a headset or whatever it is, you know, we're getting them little bits of radiation, you know, over the years. It's kind of like the Princess Bride, well, you know. I mean, you can build yourself up against poison to a certain amount.
They've known about microwave radiation for a long, long
since
time.
Since the microwave.
Since the microwave. I think the first microwave was invented in 1939. And they knew what the dangers of it was back then. I'm sure that they tested with it and experimented with it for however many years before 1939, before they come out with the microwave. And I'm sure that they knew about it then. Seems to me that Tesla might have even known a whole bunch about the dangers of microwave technology. He worked with so many things, and he was just a master at so many things. He actually theorized in 1924, did you know, that we would have cell phones today and computers in our hands.
Yes. Yes. How did they know, right?
Well,
how did they know to call it a computer?
They didn't. He theorized that there would be a device to where we could connect with each other just in space. We call it cyberspace, but I'm not sure what the words he used, but yeah.
Somewhere along the same lines.
Exactly. Yeah. Back in 1924.
And then Star Trek back in the 60s taught us, too, that we'd be speaking to, you know, spaceship on a walkie-talkie.
Look at the little communicators. That reminds me of something. I'm going to have to look up the company, but they knew about and they started developing cell phone technology back in 1964.
I'm sure they tried all that out for many, many years just to get done what they got done.
Did you ever have a Nextel?
I never had a Nextel, no.
Well, here in America, there was I think it was Sprint Nextel. They were combined together, and then mysteriously, right after Obama got elected, they took it back. Took the Nextels back, but it was a two-way system where you could push a button and it would ping whoever you were calling across the country. And it was a two-way system.
Walkie-talkie telephones.
Correct, but it was a two-way system. It was a connecting system that worked off the repeaters all over the country.
Yeah, and why did they take those away?
They gave it back to the government. The government initially had it, and then they made it public, and then they took it away from us.
Wasn't it called a mic phone?
Well, no, it was called a two-way.
Oh, okay. I think up here they called them mic phones.
Yeah, okay.
Apparently, yeah. And they were little yellow telephones that had the...
Well, it was a BlackBerry, actually, what it was.
Yeah, it had the technology to have a walkie-talkie at the same time.
Uh-huh. And we had the flip phones. They had the same thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was...
I saw someone the other day who actually still had a flip phone.
I know people that do. Still to this day, yeah.
Man, kind of hard to send a picture on that.
Or a text.
Or a text. Yeah. You had to use the third letter. You had to press them three times, remember, to get a J or whatever, an L or whatever.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You had to spell it. Yeah, yeah.
Well, wow, that's...
How far we've come.
That's why they just had letters in the beginning of texting for words. Yeah. LOL. Laugh out loud. WTF.
Yeah. WTF is more like it. And, but we're not supposed to swear.
So. Correct. Well, I do want to say, you told me just before we come back on air that, you're going to be going down a highway for a little bit, and you're going to have zero signal at all. So
I am. I'm going over one of the tallest peaks in all of the Rocky Mountains, and for some reason, I don't get service up there. I thought I would have got more service up there than anywhere.
Uh-huh.
But I guess I'm over top of all the towers, so they don't signal upward.
Probably apparently. So.
Or else we'd have all the air signal in the world. I could sit there like 2012 and tell you what was going on from the top of the earth.
Uh-huh.
But unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to. So I guess we'll probably have to throw on some music for a little bit till I get past that
yes,
time of that stretch.
Yes, we will. Yeah, that's what I discussed. I'm just going to put a few tunes on until you get your signal back, and then we'll get back to it.
Yeah. Did we get a chance to look at, and maybe we can look at some of the chat at that point in time, and maybe everybody can keep talking, and maybe they got some things they want us to talk about.
Well, there's not a whole lot of chat because I think they're just listening in. There's still seven people in the chat, and it's, you know, it's quarter after 10 over there.
Yeah.
Moon Girl was doing most of the chatting, but Laurie and Sal are now. They don't really have any questions. I wish they would put some questions in there before you do lose your signal or when
or
you get it back
or whatever. Give us some information
yeah.
about what's going on over there. You know, on we should talk about that, about what we're hearing and what's actually going on there.
Correct,
and see
yeah.
if we're even close and it is all propaganda.
Yeah, or they could ask you questions too. I mean, you've been coming on here quite a few times here in the last, I think, about two or three weeks, and they might want to know a little bit more about you.
Yeah, well, they may want to know a bit more about me. There's, you know, it's not much to tell, really, but,
well, I don't know. You seem pretty interesting to me. You seem to have a big following up there in Canada, so.
Well, you know what? I think that we sometimes are a bit more of a big mouth than everybody else, and we tend to ask a lot of questions, and then as we ask questions, we get a lot of answers, and we end up coming up with a whole bunch of facts. So I don't think anyone's more special than anybody. I think we just aren't afraid to come on here and talk about it.
Well, I think the phrase has always gone, the squeakiest wheel always gets the grease.
Every time. Every time. It seems to remain to be true. But yeah, I know that, we can talk about a lot of things. You know, there's so much to talk about. This summer near the end is going to be pretty good because, you know, Europe is on the horizon and a few people going over and trying to get in touch with a lot of listeners and going to their countries and saying hello and checking out what bears the fruit of that country and seeing it for ourselves. I think that a lot of times we listen to what's being said, and then we try to get our judgment and analogy based on it. And then we find out we went through a bunch of investigation for nothing.
Well, you're not going to get the truth from the mainstream on either side of the pond.
Does not mean, no, never going to happen. Never going to happen. The only place you're going to get real stuff is right here, right on places like this. And
yes.
Some of us who investigate and go as deep as we can to get that information. So, you know, and then tell people where to go find that information. You know?
Uh-huh. Show them video proof of it. One or the other, you know.
Or show them video proof, yeah. And in our future comings with our, you know, new media, we're going to be able to show people that on our websites and come on and do a little bit of a live video and let you know what's going on video that just states this is what we're talking about.
And, I have to tell you something that I've thought of a couple of years ago, and I've never even mentioned this on air, but, you know, tonight's a good time to do it. I've thought of either taking... If I had a friend that would follow me out to Washington, D.C. with a camera, a pretty good camera, you know, like a $5,000 camera or something like that, if I could get a hold of one, if I had the money for that.
An actual media camera.
Media camera, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Not one of those $400,000 cameras, but
yeah, yeah.
A $5,000 camera would do the good trick, you know.
Well, at least you got a microphone hooked up to it and all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I thought about having them film me going up to all of these like the CIA or the FBI or the Pentagon, or I mean, I'm sure I would get arrested immediately after I did it or started to do it, but still, it would be a statement, you know. And asking for whistleblowers. That's what I wanted to do because I want to stir the pot. I've always wanted to stir the pot. And that would be, you know, just hand out like a business card. I'd like to get some anonymous whistleblowers on my show. You know, we can disguise your voice or do whatever you want or disguise your gender or, you know, you could pick one of the 72 genders. I don't care. I just want to stir the pot and get some real information.
Well, that's a way to stir the pot on the 72 genders. You know, up here, of course, we don't have a dollar bill. We have a loonie. It's a coin. And we don't have a $2 bill anymore. We have a toonie. So they put together a gay pride loonie, and a friend of mine came up with a two-gender toonie. But they weren't too impressed with that. It wasn't getting the point across. But
right.
I thought it got the point across quite well, quite frankly. but they didn't like it very much.
Uh-huh.
So I guess we're not going to get a two-gender toonie, apparently.
Uh-huh.
We were even nice. We put two nationalist brown people on, a very beautiful girl and a very handsome guy.
Uh-huh.
And we called it a two-gender toonie, and just so that we didn't look racist.
Well, I've heard that the today's militant social justice warriors, the lesbians, gays, transgender, bisexual, whatever all of those acronyms are, I've heard that they're really, really angry with Snapchat because Snapchat only offers two genders on those filters. Have you been seeing those things that
you
take a picture of yourself and change yourself into a woman, or a woman can change themselves into a man? I guess Snapchat only has two gender filters, and they're pissed about it.
Well, I guess the whole world's not ready to convert yet. So, you know, we're just not with it. And maybe we don't have the time of the day to get after it because we don't really care. You know, I don't think any, you know,
science.
This argument with transgender and LGBTQ and whatever the 26 acronyms are now, or whatever it is.
72.
72. Okay. Some are doubled up, I guess.
Yeah.
It's just gotten out of control and out of hand, and it's another diversion for other things going on in the world to create these arguments, when we know that the gender deal is only 6% of any public anyway.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I made a joke about it, I think about 2 weeks back. I got a picture of a Black Hawk helicopter from Google, and I placed it next to my picture, and I said I want to be referred to as a American Black Hawk helicopter, and I want my Tomahawk missiles and my 50 caliber machine guns, you know.
Right.
I want to identify as a helicopter now. So
I guess we're going to have to figure out a name for you then, Steve, because and then we're going to be able to make a helicopter pride of some sort to make sure that you're not discriminated upon
for being called
a helicopter.
For not being called one, yes.
Yes, because we have to call you a helicopter because that's what your new gender is.
Identity, yes.
Your new identity, yes. Your new identity is a helicopter. Gee, that should be good. So then I guess if I wanted to be an airplane, we're not even allowed to hang around with each other. But but at the end of the day, that's about how foolish it's become, though, has it not? I mean, I think everybody around the world would agree with that.
Yeah.
That it's just getting a little out of hand. And
Science still hasn't... If science has ever come to a consensus, which it hasn't, but I think it has on this matter, they still only recognize two genders. That's all there is, male and female.
Yeah, we have no gender children in Canada. There's three or four born now with no gender.
Oh,
they're
okay.
An X, I believe, on their birth certificate.
Yeah, or a cis or whatever.
Yeah, whatever the hell it is. It's
cis,
you know, it's a Justin Trudeau thing. So I think it's some sort of sign. But
I don't know what the deal is, but I didn't really catch. I didn't read it. I just caught a video about 2 weeks back. There's a young woman somewhere on this planet that runs around on all fours like a horse does.
Yeah, she does, actually. Didn't she sprain her wrist the other day jumping over a wooden...
Probably.
I don't know what.
Probably.
Yeah, she was trying to do some Olympics, I think, and she went to do the little jump over there, and I guess apparently injured her wrist. But yeah, she can run and gallop just like a horse.
Do they got to put her down now that she's got a broken wrist?
I think she's, you know, they may have to. You know what happens when you break a leg. So
Especially the horses. Yeah, they can't fix that.
And you're a horse. Yeah. So possibly, I'm not sure. We'll have to look in on that and see if that, in fact, they had to put her down or not. But and of course, then everybody would call that inhumane, and we would wonder how so.
I know we're having fun. I know we are.
But yeah, she gallops like a horse, and I think next year she's actually going to be in the rodeos, and someone's going to actually be riding her.
Oh, so, come on! Put her in the Belmont. Yeah. Put her in the Belmont Stakes.
And seeing if I think we may get some arguments out of some other horses. that we'll have some talking horses now. Remember the old horse that used to talk?
I Mr. Ed.
The show was called
Mr. Ed. Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe he was real, and we just didn't know that. So, and then we'll have a bit of backlash from the horse community. I don't know which type of horse, because then we're getting into horse culture.
Uh-huh.
And I guess the racism between a painted horse and a charcoal brown horse or a black horse may come into the agenda at that point.
Uh-huh.
Hard to say.
Well, that would be racist, though, wouldn't it?
Well... You know, we know horses are racist about each other, though, so already. So since we've opened that envelope, we can see definite racism when we're in a rodeo or riding a barrel racer that, you know, sometimes the white horse and the black horse may want to connect somewhere in between there out of the control of the jockey.
Uh-huh.
So that would be racism. And I guess horses are racist, too. Apparently.
Well, let's get back to the political system before we lose you.
Yeah.
If we can.
I can. I'm probably fairly close to my dead spot, but...
Okay.
I'm thinking, you know, a few minutes of some sort. Depends. It changes by the day. If they want me to talk, they'd shut me off. If they want me to talk, then they allow me to turn my phone back on, apparently.
Well, you know, we do only have about 30 minutes left, so I think if I do lose you, I'll put a song on and then just end it for the night.
Okay, that would be good. Yeah, we don't want to rob Barry of his time, but you know, next week I'm going to start bringing on some people here, starting on Tuesday on Steve's show, and Sherry and I are going to be working quite a bit together with Steve as well, and Into the Night with Mike is coming to the network. So
yes, I've already told Lori
a lot about us.
I've already told Lori, so I might connect you and Lori on Skype, and you two can talk about that. And she wants me to. Get with you on what day or time or whatever you want to do that.
Yeah, I think we want to have a good time once a week to have a couple hours. I'm going to try to arrange it where there's call-in that'll be toll-free, so people can call in if they like and ask questions and actually have a call-in sector of that show. I think that would be a lot of fun. And we do that on our other media, and it seems to come across quite well. Some of the shyest people in the world will pick up a telephone out of the living room and try to join in on your conversation.
Yeah, I've been listening to talk radio for years and years and years, and I've had the, not say good luck, but I've had some luck calling into about three or four stations, talking to, I can't remember who it was now, but I have. Hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of people on regular radio, terrestrial radio, want to call in and vent or ask questions, whatever the case is. But for the most part, I haven't really had a lot of that kind of luck doing this thing here. I would like to change it. Absolutely.
Well, you know, we have a format up here that we're going to try to join together with HHG Radio, with Kirk Kerr and us. And he has the capabilities to make all that happen. And whenever, you know, we go live and we have our call in, it's quite successful, actually. People call in. We give everyone 3 or 4 minutes type of thing and try not to cut them off because we want to give other people a turn. But it's nice when we ask out and say, what's your opinion on it? And then we open the phones and... the phones go crazy, actually. Everybody wants to phone in, and we like to hear from everybody, from the left, the right, whatever. People that really aren't left or right, they agree with us. They don't think any of us have anything to say, and left or right doesn't have anything to do with it.
Well,
so,
you know, talk radio introduced the us little guys having a voice, whether, you know, it's always been on terrestrial radio. You had to have a left slant or a right slant, but right. You were still able to get your opinion and voice heard on the radio.
Well, you could, you know, I mean, we even used to have friends that were liberals, and it used to be a joke, and they'd say, you know, you're such a conservative. So, yeah, well, you liberals are a little bit loopy, but in the meantime, where are we going for lunch? Now, we don't even like each other. You know, so
yes.
It's created such a mess, and we have to get ourselves back solidified to some neutral area somewhere along the way, and sending out those messages. And we're going to be experimenting with all that stuff with everybody who tunes into all of us, and keeping in touch with the People's Internet Radio. It's very important. And I think that the future journalists that we're going to bring on are going to be a lot of fun.
Right.
So we're
going
to work hard to build that media for everybody, where they can go to websites and take a look at us to see if we missed, and little videos with us on it, so they know who we are.
Yep.
And
get
a more of a great relationship with us and them.
It's only been a couple of years ago where on this actual show right here, this actual slot, Ven was on from 9 to midnight on Sundays, but, you know, this is 9 to 11 here, but there would be anywhere between at least 85 to 120 people in the chat. The chat would be going nuts. It's only been about a year and a half to 2 years that that's actually been that way. He's taking a break from the radio, trying to make some money, like all of us are.
Yeah. Well, I think we're going to be able to do so as soon as we build a little bit of a stronger, you know, media.
Uh-huh.
Of which, you know, we seem to know what we're doing there, and we figured out a lot of things. So I think it'll be one of the media sources through the journalism that we're going to bring amongst many of us.
Yeah.
Is going to have a topic for everybody.
Yeah. And that is the thing that I do need to tell Barry. I haven't told him yet, but I don't know if it's going to be a if or a when, but if the time does happen that Ven comes back, Barry's going to lose his slot. He's going to have to pick a different slot.
Well, that might work out well for Barry anyway, because he seems to like the later anyhow. I like the later evening myself because it's more fun.
Right.
People are settling in, but that might have a little bit of a problem with Ireland because evening is so late for them.
Well, that's not going to matter. We're going to have Americans or Canadians in the chat then at that time, right?
Yeah, we'll have everybody in the chat, and everybody will be able to come back and comment anyway. And of course, you know, our shows will all be there so people can listen to if they so choose to, though. So, but
I do got to tell you something funny though, Mike. When I first started on this network, my hours were midnight to 2 a.m. Eastern time. That was actually 5 a.m. to 7 a.m.
Overseas
over there. And I had listeners.
Yeah, well, you got the morning listener, right?
Well, I had the late night, listeners too.
We had the late ones here and the early ones there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And we should be at a point where I guess right now we're evening there, so you know, that's also a nice time. People sort of have time to listen to the radio and try to tune it in too on your car phones on the way home.
Yes.
By plugging in your cellular into your phones.
Yes.
Or into your stereos.
I have a network on my phone. I can listen to it. I've got I've got a flash player. Yeah.
It's wonderful. It's really nice stuff, and you get to. Now, of course, over in Europe, I don't think people drive as much as we do. They drive. Don't get me wrong, but.
Well, they don't. They don't have the internet like we do.
They don't.
Really a shame.
It is a shame. They've really. I had a friend of mine that went to Scotland actually to do the internet about 1999 or something. And he was helping them get it together in Scotland to be able to. And he taught them how actually to come online and get an email address and things of that nature. So that was pretty interesting. But yes, it's still very far behind, it seems.
Well, I think they're deliberately choking the the people over there from having good internet. And I do understand it takes, you know, the high fiber optic cables and that, but they've been running them cables under the oceans for about 100 years now.
Yes, they have.
Or more.
Yes.
They
yes,
can.
This is they have, going over for a long time.
They have absolutely no issue with getting good internet over there. It's the control mechanism that doesn't want the people to have good internet and good information.
Right. No, it's true. Well, I am going to be going into a dead zone pretty quick here, guys. And I just want to say thanks for having us, Steve. And, you know, you put up with us all the time. And all of us journalists that come on and drag Steve into our conversations. And he stands behind us and does everything in his power to make sure that we have the support we need. So we forget to thank you sometimes, Steve. So thanks for everything you do for all of us.
Yeah, Bert,
and
Bert.
Coming on to fill in as well.
Barry and Sherry are the only ones that seem to forget. You don't.
Yeah, I never forget. Yeah, no, I try to thank for them. I'm sure that it's in their hearts, so you know we'll thank for them as well. And I think Sherry does, you know, realize that, you know, Barry's a little more calm and reserved and has people on and lets them go. But you know, Sherry and I talk a little more than others. But at the end of the day,
well,
you know.
You've Sorry. Got a real good friend with Sherry, and I do too. She's loyal, but she does mention that we are listener supported and we do need donations. I've actually donated quite a few times over the years and help keep things going, and I don't really have much, so I still do it anyway.
Well, you know, raising money is key, and that's the way we get our media out there. The stronger. You know, obviously, the more financial gain that we have as a media center allows us to go and do things that are a little more in depth to do with the media to bring that information to people.
Yeah.
And of course, we want to do that. That's why we stick our necks out here and we're able to talk about things that people want to say but are afraid to.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I've given €100 quite a few times. Quite yeah. a few times.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah, no.
That's like about 125 US. So
that's about 125 US. So you know, yeah, I think that you know, we're gonna fix some things up here and get some donation in and change our media a little bit and maybe get in with some people that we've been talking about. We can't really say at this point in time because the deals aren't set, but I think that it's gonna get more interesting for a lot of us. And you'll be able to see our smiling faces, actually, and that might deter you from hearing us on the radio anymore, but we're going to take a shot at it anyway.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, Vin did his show on both audio and video, so somebody...
Right.
There was a little player right on the network here when he turned his video on, it turned it on, and he's handed the controls over to me a few times, and I've done live video on the network too, along with the right. radio. Yeah,
right, and myself as well on social media. You know, very very much so on Facebook. You know, I don't know. There's a few. I don't even know how many. Lots of videos over there. You know, and we talk to lots of people on that social media network, and we're going to get it intertwined.
Yes.
So
yes.
we'll get in with Periscope or somebody. That brings it both to Facebook and Twitter, and to our website, and so that people are in our chat room on the radio can also
yeah.
see us
yeah.
As well. So that, you know, that's going to be a lot of fun to bring that to the table.
I've heard it's been two or three years back that somebody actually told me what their bandwidth, their speeds are over there, and I tell you one, you'd probably have to pull off the side of the road and dump your drawers out if you actually heard what it was. I think it's like 0.67 on the upload and 1.5 on the download, or it's just ghastly, ungodly
yes.
what they have to deal with as far as internet.
Well, it's like a motorcycle or a tricycle, and
no.
so we've got to get some things up to speed.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
yeah,
it's
spend some money over there on that stuff.
It's actually like throwing a rock or having a Apache helicopter shoot a missile at you.
That's right. We're gonna have to think of a nickname for that, Steve. Anyway, I love it. Anyway, I am going to go out of sight. And I guess until next Sunday, we'll be talking still and filling in for Barry Prince. We'll see if we can have somebody on. A very interesting. I'm trying to get someone on about global warming, and I've been trying to get him on, and we haven't really found the time. But we're going to find the time, whether it's Tuesday night or next Sunday, and we'll get James on the air and have a discussion about global warming.
Okay. Okay. No problem.
Alrighty. And yeah. He was one of the top dogs in the whole scientific end of it. So he's got some things to say now that he's not a part of the government.
Right. Right.
Which should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, good deal. I mean, you just have to connect me and him on Skype or whatever. Or
yeah, we'll connect the dots, and it should be a lot of fun to be able to bring the whole hoax out. It's and exactly how the hoax works. And well, I know a little bit about it, but I don't want to take away from the show. It's pretty interesting, though.
The people are somewhat getting aware that there's something wrong, you know. We are having a little bit of a effect on this global warming scam. It's a cyclical thing. It's happened thousands of times over the millions of years.
You know what? We're actually in better shape than we were thousands of years ago in the same cycle.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we're in better shape. Yeah, and you'll hear all about that. And then we can all judge and make our minds up from there. But this is the top dog of it, and possibly someone else on too from the University of Vancouver that is very in touch as well with this.
I would love to get in contact with Jordan Peterson. I'd like to pick his brain. I'd like to get him.
We
on.
Can do that.
Can you?
Oh sure.
Oh goodness.
Yeah.
That'd be
a
thrill.
We should bring Jordan on one day just for the heck of it. He's got a lot to say.
Oh, yes, he does. I've been watching a lot of his. I've actually been playing a lot of his stuff on air.
Good.
Interesting guy, yeah.
Yeah, he's a very interesting guy. I think there's a lot of interesting people coming together.
Yeah, and, yeah.
I just like being a part of it.
I do, too.
I just like being a part of it. It's a lot of fun.
I told you on Skype the other day, this is what I said in the beginning when I come on air. This is actually my childhood dream, what I'm doing. I do still want to go to a studio and be behind a microphone and reach thousands and thousands, like in an area or whatever, or have a syndicated show, you know, to reach however many.
I think very soon we're going to be there. We have lots of things to announce here in the near future, so it's going to be a lot of fun. So people will be able to tune in from all over the place.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, even on mainstream radio in some places.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Yep, yep. So we'll just leave you in the studio, and then we'll drive you crazy from our end. Be awesome.
Right, you know? Right.
Yeah. And we'll have you on video so you can't freak out.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I've been doing that from the beginning. It doesn't bother me anymore.
Yeah,
so.
I know. Yeah, you're always there figuring it out for us for sure. But I am going to lose sight, so goodbye to everybody in Ireland. Goodbye to anybody else listening. And we're bringing in some new stuff, so it's going to be a lot of fun. We're looking forward to it and bringing on some really good guests for you. And it's always a pleasure to come on the People's Radio and talk to you.
All right. Have a safe trip, Mike.
Thank you very much, Steve. And have a good weekend, everybody, and a good week. And stay safe no matter where you are in the world, please. And remember, we love everybody as far as humanity.
Don't forget, happy Father's Day, too. So.
Oh, thank you very much. Happy Father's Day, everybody.
All right. I'll talk to you soon, Mike.
Thanks, Steve.
Yeah, that is the end here. I'm going to end just a few minutes early. I haven't had any dinner yet, so I do need to make my dinner. Thanks for staying up, everyone, and thanks for putting up with me and Mike. And I hope we can change a lot of things soon. That's the plan. So good night, everyone.